Rian, do you mind coming forward? As they would say in an infomercial, I don't watch them anymore. But I remember as a child there was nothing else on TV, and then they'll show, and then they'll say, but wait, there's more. And this morning I can boldly say, but wait, there's more. Johan, it's a blessing, Tanirana, of just who you are. I've said it many times, and I'll probably say it many times more, just of who you are. You don't even have to say anything. You don't even have to touch my garden or bless me with breakfast. Just of who you are, we're thankful. We're really thankful for God's grace in this house, and His grace through you. As I said to him, Johan, and as the Lord has said to me, but much more applicable to him, the preparation for his sermon has not been this week or the week prior. It's been a life, and it's been a lifestyle. And so this morning, open up your heart for a life that is a sermon, not just for something that somebody's going to share. His life has been a sermon, and we're blessed to have you this morning. No pressure. Enjoy.
No pressure. Can we just pray together? Lord, I just want to thank you for your joy in this place. Lord, as we were worshiping and we sang those words, I am a child of God, Jesus alive in me. Lord, your joy just rose up in my soul, my spirit. And Lord, I ask that that joy will just overflow this morning in my heart and in every heart, Lord, and that you will just touch us, that we'll see your face, Lord, that you will impart your heart to us this morning, Lord. And we just ask that you will just help us, Lord, to just be quiet for a few moments, just to quiet our hearts, Lord, and to spend time with you in your presence. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I must thank Wes Pietri. Pietri and Karin, it was amazing, the worship. And, you know, I know the history of that song, the last song we sang, and it really touched my heart. Okay, I'm going to start with a question this morning. Is there anybody in this house who would like to have more of the joy of the Lord? Will you raise your hands? There you are. I just want to tell you, you don't know what you've just done by raising your hand, but you'll see in a moment. I'm very crafty. Can we just have the next, please? You know, the other evening we had a cell leaders meeting in our house, and that night the Lord dropped this word in my spirit. I don't know why, I didn't ask for it, it just happened. And it was the words that Jesus spoke to Andrew and Peter when he said, follow me and I will make you become fishers of men. And then when Retief asked me a week ago whether I'd be willing to stand here before you this morning, I just knew I had to say something about this, but I didn't know what. So I trust that what the Lord has shared with me, you will just, take this morning from me. But when I meditated on this scripture, I saw two things. I saw an invitation to be his disciple. And then I saw the result of that. And that's that you'll be a fisher of men. And these two are so interrelated, you can't separate them. You can't be a fisher of men without being a follower of Jesus. Because the only thing that we can impart to people is Jesus. And this morning, Pietri, when we sang Jesus alive in me, I said, well, that's what I'm going to talk about today. All we can impart to people, being a witness and being a follower, is Jesus. And I want to just tell you one thing more today, and that is, I spoke to Retief recently about people I knew from my youth who are not following the Lord anymore. And I'm not talking about just ordinary people, I'm talking about leaders. But you know what? I couldn't remember this morning of one person that was a fisher of men that is not with the Lord anymore. And why I'm telling you that this morning, these two things are totally interrelated. If you want to be sure that you'll have the joy of the Lord in increasing measure, because remember, the joy of the Lord is our what? Strength. Our strength. If you want that, we have to be fishers of men. We have to have one arm around Jesus and the other arm around the world. I think that's the most profound thing that anybody has ever told me. It was a predikant in the NG Kerk. He said, Johan, and I'm saying this with all reverence this morning, you stand with one arm around Jesus and the other arm around the world. Now, the world, not the bad things of the world, eh? The people of the world, the good things. You know, I come from a home where my father was a fisherman. And when I'm going to talk about fishing this morning, I know a heck of a lot about fishing. Because I spent hours with him along the fishing waters. But you know what? I did not inherit that gene. I am not a fisherman. But fortunately, my dad was also a gardener. And I inherited that. But you know, sometimes God has a sense of humor and he skips a generation with the genes. Because my son, the youngest one, has got it double. From my dad and from Rihanna's dad. If he could today just do fishing the rest of his life, he would be in heaven. He loves to fish. So this morning, when I'm going to talk about being fishers of men, I'm going to refer to the character and the things what the fisherman is like. Because Jesus wouldn't have used these words. He didn't want us to consider that. Does it make sense? Right. You know, that same evening when we had that meeting, the Lord reminded me of this scripture and he said, this is his mandate. This is why he came to earth. Why did Jesus come? To seek and save that was lost. You know why we're sitting here this morning and why we can be rejoice saying, I'm a child of God and Jesus alive in me? Because Jesus did that with us. Isn't it so? So that's a mandate. That's why Jesus came to the world. And then the next place, he actually expanded on this in Luke 15, where he told three parables. Parable is just a nice word for a story. We can just say he told three stories. The three stories was about the lost sheep, the lost coin, and then the lost son. Now, the lost son is a sermon by itself, so I'll leave that out this morning. I'll concentrate on the other two, but can we just read this together? In Luke 15, verse 4, Jesus said, what man of you having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. I say to you likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who do not need repentance. What is the word that is most prominent in this whole passage? Joy. Did you hear that? Rejoice. Rejoice with his friends. Joy in heaven. I mean, if you lack joy, my brothers and sisters, I sound like a preacher now. Hallelujah. Become a fisher of men. You will have joy, I tell you, like you've never had before. You know what? That day when I accepted Jesus as a 16-year-old boy at school, I've shared that testimony with you as well. It was not a nice moment of my life. I was chairman of the Christian society at school, but I was not saved. And that guy came and he said, everybody who wants to accept Jesus as his Savior, put up your hand. I didn't think he would say we'd have to stand up as well, but he did. I had to stand in front of the whole school, and I felt like you know, not being the truthful, because I was supposed to lead their Christian society, but I wasn't saved. That day, Jesus entered my life and the joy of the Lord, and I've never been the same. So I'll never forget that joy. And the joy that I've experienced when Donnie Crano, I'll tell you about him in a moment, one evening, desperate, wanting to end his life, gave his life to the Lord. I will never forget that joy. So this morning, I'm not going to put any going to put you under condemnation for not winning souls. I'm going to tell you, if you want joy, become a fisher of men. Next one. Now, this is the second parable of Jesus. He says, or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost. Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. What is again here? Joy, 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 rejoice. But there's another thing here in this little story. There's effort. Did you see that? There's effort. She had to light a lamp, and she had to sweep, and she had to search. It didn't come easy. I was just thinking, sorry, Edna, saying me that you're the only pregnant lady in church this morning. I was thinking of Edna standing there worshiping the Lord, and I just thought how difficult it is. Mariana bore three children. To be pregnant. You know, you're not your normal self. And you go through a lot, and then there's a birth lying ahead. But boy, the joy when that baby is born. Edna should be encouraged this morning. Okay. So I just want to remove a misconception here this morning. There are people and Christians who confuse being a fisher of men with the fivefold ministry. There are people in the fivefold ministry called as evangelists. And I've heard Christians telling me, that's not for me because I haven't got the calling or the office of an evangelist. Sorry guys, that's not scriptural. And I'll tell you in a moment why I say that. In Mark 6 we read the following, and he called the 12 to himself, and he began to send them out two by two, and he gave them power over unclean spirits. So they went out and preached that people should repent, and they cast out many demons and anointed with oil many who were sick and healed them. He had 12 disciples. He only said to two of them, will you be fishers of men? Who were they? Peter and Andrew. Who did he send out? All 12. So being a fisher of men is being a disciple and being a follower of Jesus, not having the office of an evangelist. So I just want to make that very clear this morning. And the Great Commission is not for evangelists. It's for me and it's for you. Next. You know, also when you speak to Christians, and that includes me, people always think, but I can't preach. Well, I can just put you at ease. Neither can I. Neither can, because I'm not a preacher. I can just tell you stories. But you know what? You don't even have to do what I'm doing this morning when you are busy with people. And I'll tell you in a moment why. There's three things I was thinking of that can draw people and can help us to catch them. And the first thing is the bait. And you know who is the bait? We are the bait. Because in 1 Corinthians 3:18, we read the following. As the Spirit of the Lord works within us, we become more and more like Him. Jesus alive in us, guys. As we walk in our neighborhoods, at work, in the street, Jesus alive in us. We're carrying the glory of the Lord with us. And people don't want the sermon, guys. They want Jesus. Whew, I must be very careful about my next one, and that is our testimony. Our testimony is all the bad and the good we've been through with God. And last week we heard about the bad. But you know what? Rihanna and myself were in an airplane, and some of you are tired of the story, so I won't make it long. I'll make it short. We are on our way to Serengeti, and we were looking forward to that for all our life. It was a lifelong dream with my only sister and her husband. And 2:30 in the morning, there was an announcement in the plane. Very loud. Everybody was asleep. Brace yourselves for an emergency landing. That's a crash landing, guys. That's the end of your life. And for 10 minutes, we were faced with our end. You know, it was the worst experience of my life, but it was also a moment of truth. Because in those moments, I knew where I was standing with the Lord. I just knew. And you know what? I told the Lord and said, you know, we must use all the bad and good that happens in our life to draw people to Jesus. And I'm going to use this. That what the devil meant for me and Rihanna for evil, God is going to turn around for good. And I want to tell you one thing today. Not a single person I'm not ashamed to share this with believers and unbelievers. But you know what? The moment I tell the story, truth manifests. Truth manifests. People will say, "Oh, but at least you're religious." One guy said, "At least you have, you think, I suppose you thought back of your holy life." And you know what? They just opened a door for me. They just opened the door so wide. And I just say then, honestly, guys, I'm not thinking of my holy life. I'm thinking of the fact that Jesus is living alive in me, that I'm a child of God. You hear what I say? So let use your bad things, your bad experiences. Let God use them to draw people unto Him. And the last one is meeting people's needs. I want to encourage you. If you want to go and watch something really exciting, go and watch Todd White speaking on Fishers of Men. You go after church, you know what? You will be changed. You will never be the same again. I mean, this is profound. I can't tell you how profound it is. But amongst other things, he talks about the gift of the word of knowledge. How he just gets it all the time. And you know, the gifts are not only for the church. The gifts are for the world. So he would just walk past two guys, and the Lord would tell him, "That guy's got a sore ankle, go and pray for him." And then he says one guy walks off, and he asks the guy, "Do you have a sore ankle?" He says, "No, but that guy's got one, the one who's just walked off." But I want to tell you one thing today. You don't need a word of knowledge if you have the knowledge. God is not going to give you a word of knowledge if you didn't act on the knowledge you have. If you know that there's a guy in your street with cancer, and you have not prayed for him, don't expect a word of knowledge. This is hard, guys, what I'm telling you now, but this is the truth. We must act on the knowledge that we have. You know, we visited friends, lifelong friends the other day, and the lady, Rihanna, immediately saw her face, and she said, "She's not well." And we asked her what's wrong. She said she hurt her shoulder very badly. They're Christians. They've been Christians for 30 years. And immediately, I must be, because I'm going to give you, I gave this message this morning that I was so alert, you know, included up. So I said, "Has anybody prayed for you yet?" She said, "No." So just there and then, in the garden, we took hands and we asked the Lord to heal her. We can't heal her, but we can ask the Lord. So that is being, you know, alert and active where you are. Right, so the next. The ability. I want to tell you a story, and this is again not putting myself in a good light. You know, I was an elder in the Dutch Reformed Church. I've got still many, many friends there and pastors, don't make a mistake. But the Lord led us out for a reason. And then as an elder, I had to visit people once a month. And in that period of being an elder, I became filled with the Holy Spirit. Guys, where it was a duty, a have to, it suddenly became a want to. I had to do that. Knock on the door and say, "Here I am, can I pray for you guys?" And you know, but my heart was not there. And then, after I was filled with the Holy Spirit, what happened? I just spoke about salvation. Are you saved? So one night, one lady looked at me and said, "Het jy 'n apostolie geword?" Guys, we can't do it without the Holy Spirit. And just listen what we read in Acts 1 verse 8. "You shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Power, that power, only the Holy Spirit. I can tell you everything that's happened in this area in my life happened after I was filled with the Holy Spirit. So, you know, being filled with the Holy Spirit is not an option. It's not like something you can have or may have if you want to. Well, of course you can decide. But you won't be able to witness without the Holy Spirit. And I won't be able. It's impossible. And just these words, you know, Judea, Samaria, and the ends of the earth. You know, I've been on mission trips with Shofar, and some of the guys, I thought they would be here this morning, but many of them are sick. But it was amazing. We said we're going on mission to We should have added to Thailand. It was wonderful. But we're on mission every day. Before you go to the ends of the earth, what about Jerusalem? You know what Todd White says? He says there should be a placard behind back of your front door which says, I'm entering the fishing waters. The fishing waters is not in Thailand only. It's your neighbor, it's your work, it's a guy you'll see in the shop, it's a this, it's a that. As the Holy Spirit leads us. Okay. Ooh, this is a hard one, the fishing waters. I'll first say where the fishing waters are not. Church is not the fishing waters. Sorry, guys. Small group is not the fishing waters. All your Christian friends with whom you associate are not the fishing waters. Just read what I always say we try to improve on Jesus. In Mark 2, verse 15. Now it happened as he was dining in Levi's house that many tax collectors and sinners also sat together with Jesus and the disciples. For there were many, and they followed him. You know, when I read this, I thought, are we really willing to expose ourselves, especially as Christians or good Christians, that people see us in areas and in places and amongst people who don't look like us and who don't smell like us? Quiet in the house. I'm just leaving it with you. Jesus did. And when I saw many followed him, I thought, why on earth did many follow him? They were not all sick. Not everybody in Judea and Samaria were sick. They followed him because of who he was, the beauty and the presence and the joy that came from him as a person. Have you ever thought of that? Why thousands followed Jesus? And they wanted to hear his words, his testimonies and his stories. But not everybody was sick. Right. I'm just mentioning this to you because, you know, I'm not going to speak a lot today about equipment. If you really have the heart, God will equip you. The Holy Spirit will. But I'm the first one to admit there are instruments which God can give us to be more effective. And I just want to bring you, Philip is here, my brother, who is he's actually one of the chairman of the local Christian Businessmen Association. We've got two committees in Bloemfontein. I've been there for 25 or 30 years, I can't even remember. But you know, this organization, for me, has put it all together. And I'll tell you why I say that. We meet once a week for fellowship. So we encourage each other, the men who are in this committee. The reason why we get together is to bring people at the marketplace and the workplace into a relationship with Jesus. So what do we do when we meet together? We pray consistently for men. You know, we tend to pray for a person and then leave it. But there we have prayer cards where we actually pray and you don't stop praying until that person has met the Lord. I had three friends who I started praying for 25 years ago. One passed away, I believe on his deathbed, through a prayer of Sue confirmation, he accepted the Lord. The second one had cancer, gave him 3 months to live. Rihanna and myself went to pray for him. He's still alive and he's accepted the Lord. The third one, on his 70th birthday party, was very sad for me. He said in front of everybody, I just want to tell you I am an unbeliever. But you know what? All three his children has come to the Lord. But he still hasn't. So what I say is, and I haven't stopped praying for him. I still pray for him. Then we befriend these men. You can't invite people to church or to small group or out of the blue, you know, just a guy. I suppose you can, but that's not the right way. The right way is to befriend them. And they must know you, they must see your heart, and they must, you know, whatever. And then we have outreaches. And at these outreaches, we have guys that bring the message. So we give those guys an opportunity to accept the Lord. And then we follow them up after the outreach. And we ask them, how did you experience this? And where do you stand with regard to the message? And then lastly, if they accept the Lord, what do? We disciple them one by one. Isn't this amazing? But you know, I want to share a testimony with you. A fisherman's aim is not to get the fish on the hook or met in te katrol. That's all good, good and well. But the aim is to catch the fish. And you know, a testimony was shared the other evening by Frick, a local leader. And he said, guys, I want to tell you, there was a guy whom you have invited so many times to these outreaches. You befriended him, you prayed for him. And when I had to follow him up, I asked him, has he ever accepted Jesus? And would he? And he said, little booklet we go through. You don't even know how to do it. The booklet shows you how to do it. The guy said, of course I would like, but why hasn't anybody asked me before? So you need boldness to bring that fish out, you know, of the water onto the dry land. And there are instruments, but in the end, it's our hearts. Right. Next. Oh, I like this one. Fishers of men are sold out. You know, my dad and my son, there's no distance too long to walk on the beaches, no weather too bad, no rock too deep in the sea, the risk of being wiped off by a jet. They are sold out. Why? When they go out, they say, today I'm going to catch that fish. And mostly they do come back with the fish, because that's how they said they're going to catch the fish. And I'm just going to read this with you. It's the story of the four men that carried their friend on a stretcher. They wanted to introduce him to Jesus, but they couldn't get to Jesus. So what did they do? They carried him up with the stretcher to the top of a roof. He was paralyzed. And they broke open the roof, laid down the bed on which the paralytic was lying, and brought him to the feet of Jesus. Now I tell you, that's effort. That is totally ignoring men and what people will say, even the owner of the house whose roof was broken open. But what I want to leave with you, are we there? Are we so desperate? Are we so sold out? If we want to see a person saved, that we will do that. Because it takes effort, and it takes, like Retief said this morning, when he talked about the blankets, you know, it's really, you have to have a change in mindset, and you have to have your heart changed, so that we can have the hearts of Jesus, to bring people to Jesus. Next. Okay, Danny Kreino. But he sent me this week, 25 years ago, or even 30 years ago, I can't remember, I was an elder, I told you, doing my rounds. His parents, his father, was the mayor of Malton. I knew they had a son with a problem, but they never spoke about their son. They were quite important people. So this son gave up his studies in his second year. He was very bright, but he stopped his studies at UCT. He became involved with alcohol. He was in and out of rehab. He turned over a car twice between Cape Town and Milnerton. And the evening when his dad was inaugurated as mayor, he upset the whole party. They had to call the police to remove him from the party where his dad was inaugurated as mayor. So one Monday, but I knew about him. So one Monday evening, I got a phone call. The dad, Johan, will you please come over immediately? It was just 100 meters down the street, so I went. Knocked on the door. He said, Johan, Danny is in the room, and he wants to kill himself. And he doesn't want to live any longer. So I went into the room, and there was this guy sitting. He was overweight. He had a long red ponytail on his back. And he had darkness all over him, really darkness. And I said, what's wrong, Don? He says, I want to die, but I'm afraid of dying because I know where I'm going if I die now. And you know what? For the life of me, I can't tell you what I told him, what I prayed. All I know is at that stage, I was not educated as I'm now with all the John 3:16s, all those things. I just gave him opportunity to give his life to Jesus. Okay, he prayed the prayer. Didn't kill himself that night. Next evening, got the phone call again. Dani himself. Johan, will you please come over? I want to give you my tablets. A bag of tablets for depression, to be feel better, to sleep better, to do this, to do that. He's been heading the international church in Pattaya for 25 years. And he sent me this week. He said, Johan, I'm baptizing a guy from, Iranian guy, a guy from Iran. Next. Can we? And here he is having a small group with five guys from Iran. Muslim guys, man. Isn't that amazing? So a fisher of man, of men, creates or births fishers of men. I don't want to know how many people has come through the Lord through this guy. Just a little, on a lighter note, somebody said, we take the fish out of the water to put them under the water. Isn't that nice? For the baptism, eh? Okay. Right. I must tell you this because I must be honest this morning. If you become a fisher of men, there's a great risk for being misunderstood. From your own family and from church family. Let's just read what Jesus happened to Jesus. Mark 2. And when the scribes and Pharisees saw him eating with the tax collectors and sinners, they said to his disciples, how is it that he eats and drinks with tax collectors and sinners? You will have opposition. Of course you will. You will even have it from people in church, because the scribes were the people from church those days. But I want to bring the joy into the picture again. Just hear what Jesus said in Matthew 5. He said, blessed are you when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad. You see the joy again. Rejoice. For great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So I just want to leave that with you. It's not an easy road. I spoke about the pregnancy. There will be effort. There will be dark, there will be bad weather, there will be all those things, but it's worth it. Right, next one. Yeah, I don't know why I put this in, but I was just reminded of Chris, you know, who's not here this morning. Is Chris not here this morning? Oh, Mother's Room. Chris, I'm talking about you. Listen. The other evening, Chris shared with us, and he said that he's a cell leader, but the Lord showed him that he must move out. And he must go and do hospital visits. And I think Ryan isn't here this morning, but Ryan went with him. And he said, you know, Johan, we couldn't believe how the Lord came through for us. Because we saw miraculous healings. Why did it happen? Because they left their comfort zone. They went to the fishing waters. Why do I say the fishing waters? If you have a gift of healing, the place to go is a hospital. Because there's more sick people there than your small group. And you know, yeah, I think the rest speaks for itself. Next one. You know, fishers of men may lose their calling. And Peter did. The one who was called as a fisher of men. What did he do when Jesus was crucified? He actually went fishing again. And then Jesus came to the shore and Jesus called him out. And in the meantime, in between, he denied Jesus three times. That just, how do we deny Jesus? We deny him when we're in front of people where we should bring our testimony. And we all do that. And we're all guilty. But the wonderful thing is, God is so gracious. He gives us second chances and third and fourth chances. And he did it with Peter. He asked Peter three times, do you love me? And Peter had to answer. And each time when he said, in the confirmed and said, I do, Jesus referred to what? The sheep. You know, I told the people the other day at our cell leaders meeting, I said, we've been cell leaders for 30 years. So it's a bit afgeskaal at the moment, only once a month. But still, we sell leaders. You know why I do it? Not because I have to. Because I want to. Why do I want it to do it? Because I want to be a follower, and I want to do it. So when we are called for service in church, we don't do it for the church or for the pastor or for this or that. We do it because of Jesus. And the amazing thing is, Jesus and Peter use different words for love. Every time when Jesus asked Peter, he used when Peter said, "I love you," he used the word phileo, which means "I love you with brotherly love." And Jesus repeated asking him, "Do you love me with agape?" What is agape? Unconditional love. It's a love that doesn't count the cost. So when Retief, I think Retief this morning said it so beautifully, he said, do you have to give to God or do you want to give to God? If have to, it's one thing, but want to is agape. Agape means there's no, geen moeite is te groot nie. No effort is too much. Because that is the sort of love Jesus wants from us. And I just want to end off with this. You know, many of us here, including myself, Jesus has spoken over our lives with promises and prophecies. And I want to leave this with you this morning. When Jesus spoke, it will come to pass. It will come to pass. And how do I know that? 3.5 years earlier, he told Peter and said, Peter, if you follow me, you will become a fisher of men. In those 3.5 years, Peter went Afrikaans ons dik en dun. He followed Jesus with all his mistakes, all his faults in his character and personality. He denied him 3 times, but he still followed him. So Jesus, when he called Peter, he said, follow me and I will make you become a fisher of men. Did that happen? Let's just read in Acts 2. This is the day of Pentecost where Peter is preaching. And those who gladly received the word were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added to them. What am I telling you? The word of God is true. God doesn't say a thing lightly. When he says a thing, when he calls you as disciple, when he calls you as fisher of men, he means it. And he will empower us. The word says he will make us fishers of men. And you know what? If we can have that mindset change in our personal lives, as small groups, and also as church, we will see amazing things happen. And I'm so glad I could share this with you this morning, because it's really in my heart and the Lord has really laid it on my heart. And I don't by any means say we are not fishers of men. I just say God can sharpen us and God can encourage us. And we must just, sometimes it's just a mindset of being changed and receiving God's heart, God's eyes. Thank you. Amen.
Thank you, man. Will you guys stand with me? We're going to pray. Lord, thank you that Umihan this morning comes and he stands and he shares this word with authority, because you have made him and he has become over years, Lord, a fisher of men. And so we thank you for the testimony of his life and thank you for the authority with which he can speak. And when there's authority, there's substance. And when there's substance, there's faith. And so, Lord, we come and say, thank you, Lord. We want to eat this. We want to eat this testimony, this lifestyle. Not of a must culture, but of a want to culture. Because of agape love that we firstly have received and then boldly can give again. So this morning, we're in different seasons and different places, stages of the process of Christ making us to become fishers of men. But if you just afresh want to say yes to the call of being a fisher of men wherever you are planted, just raise your hand this morning. We're just simply going to pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for all these hands, Lord. And now I pray over us as we raise our hands and just in very simplicity said yes. We just come and we pray, Christ, thank you that what you've started, that you will complete.
in all of our lives.
Help each and every one of us become fishers of men, Lord. For we want to walk in that joy and that rejoicing that not only us and we can receive and enjoy, but we also want to know that there's a party in heaven. Thank you, Father God, that you give us eyes that see eternally, Lord, and that realize and realizes the gratitude and the magnitude and the immenseness of the salvation of the souls around us. And as we've said yes to becoming, we also want to just this morning, with the hands that were raised, say, Holy Spirit, come. Come, Holy Spirit. Help us to use the knowledge that we do have, and grant us those moments of words of knowledge that we need to love on others. And then, Holy Spirit, thank you for a boldness. Just for a boldness. Fear of man, you have no place in our midst. But the fear of the Lord. Ha! The fear of the Lord. Ha! Thank you, Lord. We need not worry about looking like fools, Lord. Thank you for the spirit of the fear of the Lord. Thank you for the spirit of the fear of the Lord, and that we can lay down our cool. Lord, if some of us need to lay down our cool, if I need to lay down my Facebook and my Instagram vibe, Lord, thank you that I can lay that down for the fear of the Lord, for the sake of the gospel. Amen. Lord, thank you, Holy Spirit, that you loosen our tongues to preach the gospel. It need not be in a deep religious way. It can be in a very authentic, who I am in the Lord way. But help us and give us the grace to preach the gospel, to walk in the fear of the Lord, and to know that we are becoming, day after day, we're becoming fishers of men. Thank you that you show us the fish waters. And so the Lord is showing you people this morning. He's showing you the fish that you can love on. Who's the people that you will love on? And Lord, just lastly, thank you, Lord, that we will be motivated by love, motivated by the Spirit, and that people will never be a project, but that they are sons and daughters to be of our Father. They're brothers and sisters to be. It is never a project. And so thank you, Lord, that there'll be an authentic love and a compassion, because Christ was moved always, always, compassion and love. So just lastly, if that is you, just to say, Lord, yes, just raise your hand for the compassion and the love for the people. Thank you, Lord, that we just simply say, may we be fueled by the compassion and the love of Christ, fueled by the compassion and the love and the insight of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for divine connections and divine setups this week, and divine boldness in the Lord. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, Amen. Amen.